uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. My thanks to Ken Rogers for coming on. Kason, man. Let me tell you, if you should buy it. I mean, it's crazy. You sit and watch it. Like, I have to send you a copy of it. It's, you think of that for 7 months, like, those guys ought to be so crazy, it's a joke. But we got into a conversation, and Gunner joins us. Good morning, Mike, how are you?
Good morning, Mac.
Whoa, you're being nice. We got into a discussion about We Hire Veterans, and thank you for your service.
Right.
And two things that most veterans don't believe that you really mean. And he talked about being a veteran, how this, you know, the stigma of what was Vietnam, you know, you came back and he said, you know, like if you're in a bar, it's not bad, you know, you're kind of a badass and you're a Vietnam vet and all that. And then you go look for a job. He said it was not good. That was not good at all because there was right. there was that stigma out there. And then he said, but I'm surprised that you're still dealing with it. I said, well, you know what? When I got out, I just pinged some guys. Any advice? And like, yeah, don't mention that you went to Iraq or Afghanistan. Don't say you were in the grunts. Don't mention cities like Fallujah, Ramadi. Don't talk about any of that.
Right.
And I said, whoa, really? They were like, yeah. Because as much as they say they want to hire you, they really don't. And we...
Right.
I want to say, you know, and then I got a guy, I got an email from, do you know Jason Gere? He's a CBRN warrant officer, funny guy.
Yes. Yep. I know too well.
And he was a buddy of, remember Stacy Jeanbird? Is that his name?
Yep, he was another warrant officer.
He was funny too. He was in Ramadi with us. Anyway, well, he said, "Look, you know, I'm way more qualified than people I go up against." He said, "But I don't get jobs." And after a while, it dawns on you, there's a reason. And then somehow or other, the thing, thank you for your service, came up. And Ken Rogers said, the guy who made Bravo, the Kason guy, he said, "Yeah, I don't like that." And it reminded
really?
Me, yeah, it reminded me, I think of something you said about sometimes the way people say it, just
right.
don't say anything to me, okay? if it's just kind of a throwaway thing to say when you find out I'm a veteran, just you don't need to say it.
There's, you know, and you're right. When people say it, I think me personally, I can tell when someone really means it.
Right.
You know, and some, a lot of times people say, you know, my son was in, or my dad was in, and really it made a difference, and, you know, and I really want to appreciate, you know, I really appreciate what you've done for us. But if they just throw the token out, hey, thanks for your service. Yeah, I got it. I mean, but it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, he said he didn't like it, which is kind of interesting. But I mean, and that's normally something that we don't talk about in public, that hey, just don't say it then, if you're going to say it like that. Thanks for your service. Because it bothers some guys. Some people have a thing with it, so interesting. All right, you have big plans for the 4th of July? Are you a fireworks guy? You're not a fireworks guy, right?
No. Well, we got, like, so we've got the parade, so I'm helping out in the parade as far as, hand stuff, you know, kind of for the election stuff that we're doing for Ron.
Can you be around fireworks? Because Texas likes its fireworks, yes? Are they legal down there because of fires and stuff like that?
Are they legal?
Yeah.
Are they legal, Mac?
Well, sometimes because of
fire.
Sometimes because of the fire conditions in some counties, they have pretty strict.
Not down here.
Not down there.
Granbury's fireworks in Granbury, the sides of the roads are parked with cars. About noon, along the main drag coming in, people are parked in the middle on the side. I mean, it's packed, Mac. And I will tell you, the first time we saw Granbury fireworks, my wife, she was like, "Wow, Granbury fireworks here in Granbury put like the special occasion Disney fireworks and SeaWorld fireworks together a shame."
Really? That's big time, because Disney, they're no stranger to a firework or two.
These are amazing.
Really? Now, but can you buy them and set them off yourself? Can you do that, too?
You can't drive more than 3 miles down the road and not see fireworks yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
They're everywhere.
People are
selling them. Everywhere.
When you were a kid, how much did you love fireworks? Not fireworks.
Oh.
Firecrackers, bottle rockets.
Yeah, and it was bang. I didn't like the stuff that was like a sparkler, or you light the little black tablet and it makes a black worm.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Just got you yelled at because you scarred the sidewalk or the driveway or something like that.
Yeah, mine were my favorites were like the Black Cat fireworks and the bottle rockets, man. Bottle rockets were my favorite.
Bottle rockets. I love fire. I love firecrackers.
Well, bottle rockets, we used to shoot at each other and bottle rocket wars.
The firecrackers, I was never, like, my mom would never allow me to have, you know, she was anti-firecracker. So then naturally I have to do it on a down low. And then you hear about some kid in the neighborhood. Hey, he just got a brick. His uncle went to Mexico. He's got a brick of firecracker.
What? Mm-hmm.
And he's selling them, right? He's selling them like it's crack to all the other kids in the neighborhood. And he's making a ton of money. And, but man, you knew somebody, you have like five packs of firecrackers. Yeah, that was going to last for a couple weeks, because you're going to, like, dish them out like gold and throw them at your friends. It's going to be awesome. I had one blow up right next to my ear. I didn't dare tell my mom. My mom kept asking me, why do you keep asking me to repeat myself? I was like, I don't know. I don't know, Mom. And I threw one, and it was one of those, I don't know. You know how you'll light them in and the fuse will go out for whatever reason? And you're like, and it's got a little bit of fuse, and it's like, all right, light it, and I'll throw it real quick. Man, this thing went off right next to my ear, in my hand. As it burned a little bit quicker, but I was not like, you know, I wasn't one to like just throw it on the ground and, you know, not try to follow through. That thing was getting thrown, man. It had to, it exploded next to my ear. I couldn't hear for like a week. And my mom kept getting on me. What is wrong with you? I'm like, huh? Nothing? Nothing. Why? Kathleen, man.
Yeah,
today's my mom's birthday. I mean, she's not with us anymore.
Did she call her? Oh.
No, she did, but no, today's her birthday. Corporal punishment, Kathleen, man. Two things. She could lay the wood to kids, and she could cook like no other, man. Cook like no other.
Yeah, those are the best.
Yeah, my mom smoked cigarettes, smoked Parliaments, and she used to drink Gallo Vin Rosé out of the twist-off bottle, and she kept that kind of green vase-shaped kind of round jug underneath the sink. Pulled that thing out. Yeah, drinking wine, smoking, and fixing dinner. But my mom raised me. She drug us all over the country when my dad was in the minor leagues. You know, she believed that, for instance, he was in Lewis and Idaho in A-ball for 2 years. So he'd go to spring training in February, and we were in school. And so when we got out of school, she'd throw us in the car. And back in the early 60s, and we'd drive up to Lewiston, Idaho. She'd drive by herself. And then he was in Alabama, in Birmingham and Mobile, Alabama, in the 60s. And she'd throw us in the car, drive us to Dallas when he managed the Dallas Texans or the Dallas Rangers, I think they were. I remember because they gave him a Stetson cowboy hat. My dad looked like a fool with a cowboy hat on. But I remember a lot of lizards. We lived in Dallas, and a lot of lizards at that time. Mm-hmm. And But, yeah, my mom, when she'd pack us all in the car, there was four of us. She'd throw us in the car, and we'd be in the back seat, right? Don't put your leg over this line, all right? Don't touch me. And I don't think we had air conditioning at that point. And so we're just fighting in the back seat, like nonstop. Me and my two sisters, with a little one sitting up front, not understanding how my mom could see us fighting in the back seat.
Yeah. Right.
Because today my mom's birthday. She'd be 83 today. So God bless her.
Wow. Son.
So yeah, my mom. And in fact, you know what? My dad, when I said I'd join the Marine Corps, my mom used to buy me books when I was a kid, and she knew I loved history.
Uh-huh.
And I bought. Do you remember being part of like the Scholastic Book Club and buying books at school? Man, I bought every World War II book that they had, Guadalcanal Diary, you know, Marines at Midway, every book that they had in those series about, you know, history and military history, I would buy. And so when I remember telling my dad that I was going to join the Marine Corps, and I mean, I'm probably 23, 24 at the time, and my dad was just pissed at me. And they were divorced, were in the process of getting divorced. And when I told my mom said, she said, good. She said, I think you'll love it. I was like, yeah, somebody in this family has a clue. But, she took me to see, do you remember the movie, I was born on December 7th, the movie Tora, Tora, Tora came out on December 7th.
Yeah.
And it's about Pearl Harbor. And my mom took me to see that on opening night at this big fancy theater in Sacramento. It was called the Alhambra Theater in downtown Sacramento. I don't think it's there anymore. But it was an ornate with gardens, the big wide red carpets going up to the balcony and things like that. And so, you know, I had to put on my slacks and a shirt, and my mom wore a dress, and we went to the. She took me to see Tora 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 for my birthday. So, yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, she. She
I thought that.
Go ahead.
I thought that movie came out like in the 1940s.
No. No, it came out in the 60s, 70s, probably. And I have a great picture of her on the flight deck of the USS Ranger during Fleet Week holding an M60 machine gun and smiling. I said, look, I'm going to let you hold this, but you've got to smile, act like you've done this before, or we're not doing this. And she was like, I don't really want to hold it. I said, Mom, you've got to hold it, okay? We're going to take a picture. You've got to hold it like you mean it, okay? She said, okay. So here she is dressed nicely, right, with this machine gun and with this big smile. And me standing next to her, steely-eyed, first lieutenant, ex-submarine detachment. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, my mom, God bless her. So is your mom still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
My mom and dad, yep.
If you could have your mom cook one thing for you today, what would it be that she cooked?
Nothing. My mom sucked at cooking. If anything she cooked, I would if she cooked anything for me right now, I think, man, she'd mess up toast.
You're a jackass.
Yeah. She got none of my grandmother's ability to cook in any of her genes, man. She was horrible.
Grandma's daughter? Was it the food grandma you always talk about? Was that her daughter? How could she not?
That was my mom's. Because she never paid attention.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No. God, even thinking about it was like, no. That's where we learned to cook, me and my sister, at a real young age. And then, we had to, otherwise it was mystery dinner. I don't know. God, I'm thinking about that right now. It's like, I think because you have bad memories, you block them out. I can't remember a dish that she cooked. Can't remember.
What did she cook that was really bad?
Everything. Everything she put in a pan.
Stop it. Come on, man.
I'm dead serious, man. I'd get her on and you can ask her yourself. She's a horrible cook.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, Mac. Cereal was always the mainstay in the breakfast. Like, you want scrambled eggs and hash browns and toast and bacon? No. No, I'm good.
Then what do you eat for lunch? Hold on, let me read you a text. Mac,
what did you say?
Tell the gunner to shut up. He can't be talking like this about his mom. Every mom cooks okay. What the hell?
No. Mine does not. Oh, my God.
My mom's sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah. I'm picking my brain. Like, what would she cook that was decent? I mean, I think we ate out a lot as kids. So.
Really? We hardly ate out at all. It was a huge deal for us to eat out. But like I said, my mom, she's one of those people that are gifted. She's great. She'd take something that somebody else made and add a couple things to it, you know.
Right.
Stand in the kitchen.
Yeah, but my Aunt Jane, my mom's sister, she's the oldest in the family. Great cook. She cooks like grandma. So.
Wow. Well, sucks to be you then. My mom, the thing that I love that my mom used to make was Thanksgiving dinner. And she, the whole thing.
Thank God for, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, thank God for relatives. Because we'd go to their house and we'd eat. And like my grandma would always cook. My dad's mom would cook. You know, we were living in Minnesota, so my dad's mom was there. So we'd go to Grandma Angie's house for, you know, Christmas dinner. Thank goodness.
My mom would have it, man. She had to cook. She had to like lay the smack down on everybody. And she would too. It was like people would like, well,
my friends were
like, hey, what do you guys have?
If you called my sister right now and asked her if when growing up as kids, would you look forward to a Christmas dinner cooked by your mom? My sister would be like, what?
Hold on. Here's an email. Mac, tell him to shut up. This isn't right. He could find something that his mom cooked right. I'm laughing, but
no, my mom did a lot of things right.
I'm laughing, but
a lot of things right.
I'm laughing, but this isn't funny.
No, my mom did a great deal of things right. She was a great mom, but man, she'd get in the kitchen and we were like, no, those do not go together, mom. You can't. No. Sure. You know what? I just put a spoonful of mayonnaise in, you know, in the meat, you know, like, no. But, I mean, so here's my mom. My mom, okay, so my grandmother would make tacos, and she'd make the corn tortillas and the corn flour tortillas by hand.
Right.
Everything, the beans and everything was by hand. The meat was seasoned perfectly, and it was been stewing forever, and it was not ground beef, it was pulled shredded beef that was really tender and everything. And, you know, the lettuce was picked out of her garden and tomatoes were picked out of her garden. And, you know, my mom would make tacos and she'd put a pound of ground beef into a pan, put a package of taco seasoning in it with a cup of water, render that down, and then open a box of taco shells that were already preformed and you'd scoop them in there.
Yeah.
And that was taco day.
Now, most people are saying, well, that's what I ate. Like, what's your problem, Gunnar?
No, see, I didn't eat like that. When I ate, like I said, grandma, everything was from scratch. No recipe books. Everything was in their head. So she'd bake cake. It was from scratch. She'd make whatever. It was scratch. My mom would
come
home with a cake.
Stop saying scratch like that. Scratch.
My mom would come home with a cake from the bakery and then take it out of the thing and put it out on the table. Or she never knew. She couldn't. If you told her, I'd like my steak medium rare,
right,
she would look at you like, what do you mean? Because she would cook a steak until it stopped making a noise on the pan.
Shut up.
She couldn't. I'm serious, Mac. She couldn't pick out meat to save her life. And she'd cut it wrong, so you're really chewing on this. And you're like...
Making dog noises.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You felt like, like an animal eating steak on the table.
You're brutal.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes. I didn't know that you can actually make a mashed potato from a real potato growing up. I thought it always came from a box.
Stop it!
When you were a kid, they barely had
stuff like that.
Yeah, no, they did. Believe me, because we wouldn't have ate as kids if they never had that stuff.
You're a jackass. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about the First Marine Division change of command today. And also a friend of ours is having a retirement party tonight. And the Gunner's effort and my effort to cause trouble this morning in text messages. So we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio on a Friday. Coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue.
Hey, Matt.
What?
Okay. Before we go any further, my younger sister's on the phone right now with us. Chris?
Yeah, hi.
You're not going to do this to your mom. Hi, Chris. How are you?
No, my mom is a good sport. She really is.
She is? Well, hold on. First of all,
she knows. She doesn't try to pretend.
She doesn't? First of all, Chris, are you older or younger than Michael?
I am 3 years younger.
Really? Well, wow. Congratulations. What was it like to have Michael as an older brother?
Hey, we're not talking about this.
Hey, shut up.
He totally toughened me up, I'll tell you that. Yep, he was the kind of big brother that beat on his little sister and held me down. He made me strong. He made me tough, you know?
So, in other words, he beat you
she
up a lot?
She doesn't take crap. She doesn't take crap.
All right. Now, has he ever lost an argument in your family?
Me?
No, him.
Oh, has he ever lost an argument?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. When we were kids.
I have no problem arguing and debating my brother. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know what? This is Chris, my sister.
Right.
She's the only one that I really listen to with advice. When we go back and forth, we have different beliefs, and we respect that, and we're going to move on, but we like to debate it a little bit.
Yeah, Mike would never believe that he lost an argument, Steve, but I know he lost. You know, like, he would never admit to that.
Right.
So you look at Chris different than your brother who you were going to assault last summer.
Yeah, I was telling when you get an argument with Donnie can't debate because you just want to punch him.
He's kind of wishy-washy. You know,
yeah,
he's kind of like mom. You can kind of bend them to whatever, you know, you want them to be. You and I don't really bend. And
yeah, Chris is like me. She doesn't bend.
No.
Okay, now, so Chris, where do you live?
I live in Richfield, Minnesota.
Oh, so what do you think of Michael, like, choosing new states to live in? And then, do you know that he's not a Viking fan anymore? That he's now, like, he now identifies, like, remember Rachel Dolezal? She identified black, and she became the president of the NAACP in Spokane. Mike now identifies as a cowboy fan. Like, how do you do that?
No, that doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, you know, this whole Texas thing, what is that? I mean, our family won't even step foot in Texas. I can't believe they actually lives there. But, you know, he's been there 100% in whatever he does. So.
Yeah.
But knowing me, I belong in a state like Texas.
You do. You like your buddy. You know, like, hey, you know, like, Minnesota's not the place for you.
Right. It's a good place to grow up and a good place to come from, but I just go back there, yeah.
But you like your guns too much. So,
Well, Minnesota, well, no, wait a minute. Minnesota's a gun place. I mean, come on. Maybe not the cities.
We are.
Maybe not the cities.
Liberal, though. I think we would vote for actual gun laws, you know, and, you know, that's just not happening there in Texas.
Yeah. I know, but there's so many small towns and so many people that live in outstate. See, I lived up in North Dakota, right on the North Dakota-Minnesota border. And, like, I know the,
it's
like...
true, yeah.
I know
there's
the
war... There's a lot of hunters. There's a lot of gun lovers. It's true.
The Iron Rangers, the War Roaders, the Rozozers, those people, they don't...
It's,
like,
it's
they,
true.
They
but
look at,
we're still a blue state, though. I mean, you
yeah,
know,
you're
it's...
Right. All right. So tell us something that we don't know about Michael. As long as you're on, he thought you were Michael and I are like we're battle buddies times three. That doesn't happen. Okay,
yeah,
very much. Yeah. So I know Michael.
Oh,
so
man.
Now he thought you were going to come on and talk about your mom, but you're going to come on now and talk about him. Tell us something that we don't know about Michael that we'd like to know.
Man, what could you possibly not know about Mike?
Oh,
I mean,
trust me.
He's kind of just the way he is. That's why I'm trying to think if there's anything.
I haven't changed a bit.
No. Man, that guy was playing with the Army men his whole life until he finally joined, you know? I mean, he is who he is. So.
You know, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, take a breath and think, okay? There had to be a time. Do you remember the time we caught him in wearing my dress that time? Do you remember the time? There's got to be. Come on. Work with us.
You know what? I'll tell you something. He's, you know, surprisingly, he can be real tough. All right? I mean, I'm going to tell you something good. He was a good brother. You know, like, yeah, we had our moments. And he was totally, you know, taking me down and stuff. He was older. He was bigger. But... you know, he also stood up for me and took care of me. He was a good guy, you know? So.
The only person that I allowed to pick on my sister was me.
Yeah.
Oh,
I would say that's 100% true.
That's how it
should
be.
Very protective.
Now, how many was there? Just, was it three of you or more?
Well, Mike and I were the ones that mostly grew up together. Our parents divorced. And so we have a younger brother who's a year younger, but he lived with my dad. So
okay.
Mike and I were the only ones that lived with my mom. And then we have other, you know, siblings by marriage. But mainly it was the two of us together.
Chris and I, most, you know, growing up together, so.
Yeah.
So now, Chris, are you one of those rich Twin City people that, like, yanks Minnesota into that liberal sinkhole that it lives in? What the? Because I've read about
you. We are 100% middle class. I'm telling you, that's it. We're just, you know, very, yes, we're liberal, yes, but you know, we're true Minnesotans. I'd say, you know, my husband and I. And,
no, you're not. If you're a liberal, you're not. Minnesota, they're gun hunting, they're gun toting, fishing American people. Now let's. All right, so let's talk.
That's
so,
we're in the city, though. We're in the city, and the city is where most people in Minnesota live. That's why it's liberal. I mean, we're all liberals here in the city, and that's where the majority of the population is.
Is that true? What is the population of the state, and does the majority live in the Twin Cities? Let me look that up. Okay.
I don't know what the population is.
We're going to get to the bottom of this little...
Where I'm from.
Yeah, I would say the majority lived in the city.
Yeah, Minneapolis, St. Paul is
and the surrounding suburbs.
Yep, we're a suburb of Minneapolis, and definitely, I bet you, you know, between Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, that are which are all bigger liberal cities.
Duluth's not liberal. Duluth isn't liberal.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a joke.
No, it is.
Duluth is.
Liberal, yep.
Yeah.
And then everything else in the whole state was red. But I think we outnumber them. So
Minneapolis St. Paul population. What do you think it is?
Oh, I don't have a clue.
3.5 million.
How much?
3.5 mil.
Wow. Pretty close. Pretty close.
Is that close?
3.28 million. All right. Now we're gonna examine Chris's claim that the majority of people live there. Minnesota. That's right. I speak the language. Okay, Minnesota population 5.5 million.
Yeah, so there you go.
What was the total?
Five point five.
Okay.
So you were correct. Congratulations, Chris.
Well, thank you. I live here. Hopefully I know what's going on.
You had no idea. That's just that liberal spin that you guys keep throwing out. Now, who did you vote for president?
Who did you think I voted for?
Come on. We're not doing politics, though.
Just a little bit.
I did not vote for Trump. I mean, come on.
He is kind of crazy.
You
yes?
You wouldn't tell me that last winter. Our last summer I found him. You wouldn't admit to it, but I knew he was going to.
What's that?
Vote for Trump.
Why wouldn't you admit to it? Were you embarrassed? Voting for a crazy man?
He was in Minnesota. Matt, do I like Trump?
No. Uneasy alliance, I would say.
I don't like Trump. I don't like him. But I liked her even less. I mean, they're both, like I said, they're both her dressed up in tuxedos. Pick one for a date.
I don't know, Mike. Not on this. But my kids are, and they tell me some things that they see you posting about politics. So I'm telling you.
I don't like Trump, though.
Okay, but you certainly do like some of the things he's doing, it sounds like.
The only thing that I've liked.
No, we like some of the policies, like the like controlling the southern border.
Yeah, policies have changed. Yeah, the borders and stuff like that. Yeah,
we don't mind that.
Stuff. Yeah,
the problem in Minnesota is their border is Canada. So when Canadians come across, you're like, okay,
hold up here. Richfield, Minnesota. You guys, I'm serious. I work at the high school.
Yeah,
and it is like 60% Hispanic. You would not believe Minnesota. Is that has such a high Hispanic population, but we do, and especially right here. And so,
well,
Do you habla Espanol? A little. You know, I haven't had to learn. They all know English.
Well, I know, but didn't you grow up at Las Cuantas? Didn't you grow up at Las Cuantas Milpas?
No, she was younger.
Well, we
were talking about when Grandma Inez, when she was cooking, you know, Grandma's food in San Diego. I said, Chris was a lot longer. She remembers it, but the food is so much different in San Diego.
Mexican food.
Yeah, Chris loves Mexican food.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. But then
it's like that last thing we were just talking about. Chris, I was telling him, I said, my mom cooked Mexican food once. But it was ground beef with a seasoning pack with the shell-bought tacos.
Totally, 100%. I mean, there was no on there.
Yeah. But she was
actually after, when we were living out in California for that short while, when after Grandpa passed away, that her aunt came and lived with us for a little while, you know, during the time of the funeral. And she was showing me all this stuff. She was making salsa and make
Mom,
you know,
Mom could not do that. She did not inherit that from
she
Grandma.
She never did that. Absolutely not.
Okay, now.
But I'll tell them, Aunt Jane can cook, but not like, yeah.
Yeah,
all right. Here's
that's not our that. Nonsense.
We didn't have that in childhood. He was asking, like, what did you guys eat for lunch then? Sandwiches?
Well, it was what we ate for lunch was whatever we packed in our lunch bags. I mean, we didn't have
it.
I remember us eating, you know, whole hot dogs out of the fridge, you know, when we were kids. I mean, you know, it was just whatever was there. So.
Tell me, Max.
Some of the day won't eat a pot pie because I remember those awful, frozen dinner pot pies that she put in front of us at dinner time, and it just was the most awful thing in the world. And
oh my God! What a wine, Mike! You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me she was a whiner. Holy smokes, Chris! Have a little cheese with your wine, for God's sakes! Wow!
Yeah, I forgot about the pot.
Those
wasn't for frozen prepared foods. Again, we would have starved.
Yes, we would.
All right. So, Chris, what was the best thing she made?
The best thing she made?
Yes.
The
best thing, when you think about your mom.
You know what? She actually made, the one thing that I really liked was, like, it was actually pretty good. It was, like, a stuffed bell pepper, you know, green peppers.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was basically just ground beef and cheese. Just stuck in the ground. Bell pepper, but you know, it's something that I actually really like. Yeah, that was one thing that she.
Okay, yeah, you're right. She'd make that. She'd cut the top off a bell pepper, clean it.
Yeah.
Stuff it with
ground beef and cheese. Exactly, and then put it in there. And some tomato sauce.
And pour a can of tomato sauce.
Pour a can of tomato sauce on the top. Yeah.
And bake it.
Yeah.
I lied, Mike.
Sounds pretty. Well, Mike said he would get blocked. Mike said he had blocked much of that out.
I honestly did most of the cooking when we were kids. I mean, even like, and in high school and stuff. I would start making dinner before she came home from work. And
that way we took
excuse
away from her. Like, no, Mom, we got dinner.
Yeah, no, I just kind of became my job. And I did, and I loved to bake. I would be the one baking cookies and cakes. My mom never made.
Really?
So,
But yeah, so Max, Chris, if Mom would have said, "Do you guys want pancakes, bacon, and eggs in the morning?" What would you have said? We would have cooked it.
Food? I mean, we could cook. I mean, I tell my kids all the time, and how shocked I am that they can't cook because I was cooking full dinners by the time I was in fourth grade because. Otherwise, we weren't going to eat, you know, or not very well. It's just, I like lasagna and stuff like that as a fifth grader. And my kids,
right.
You know, kind of work their way around the kitchen as teenagers, but barely. I mean, they don't make full meals.
Well, I think so, isn't that a little bit of a parenting issue, though?
Yes. Yes, I do a lot for my kids that I didn't have. For me. That's
okay,
true.
Hold on. Okay, Chris, now, so being a liberal, are you one of those helicopter parents that, like, oh, no, you're on the phone to the teachers? How dare you give my daughter a B? You better,
no,
I'm going to the
like
school.
I would say I'm semi, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very involved in my kids' lives.
Yeah.
I go to all their things. But, no, we don't, like, go up to the coach and yell at them to say, you know, didn't play our daughter or something like that. We're not.
No, Max, they're not like Max. It's not that stereotypical. They are some of the best mannered, well-respected children, you know, and.
Oh, listen to Mike going to bat for his little sister. I like it, Mike. It's good.
No, I'm serious. I mean, Matt, cause it was, you know, one thing that Chris had that I didn't have, she had that parenting skill, you know, I had to learn it the hard way. Like,
well, you know what I tell my kids, you know what I tell them is I say I learned to be a parent, and I think I'm a pretty good parent. I learned my parenting skills by doing the opposite of how I was raised. I mean, I'm sorry, but my mom, she just wasn't, you know? She didn't get it. She was not one of those parents that you could really brag about. And, you know, I would look at other families and my friends and their parents, and I'd be like, that's how I'm going to be. Like, that's the way it should be.
Really?
And even, I mean, even in elementary school, I could see that, yeah, there was a better way to do things. And
wow. So, you're, like, obviously the smartest one in the family, yes?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, shut up already with you, okay? Okay, now, Chris, we're gonna have to do this again. We're going to have to, because Mike comes on, like, all the time, so we're going to have to do, like, the Mike and Chris segment where you come on, like, once a month or something.
Anytime.
Oh, I love
it. I'm off all summer, so you can contact me until school starts, all right? Yeah.
Oh, Chris, trust me, you're going to be on this program so much, and we're going to find out about Mike. And
I'm going to come up with some good stories about Mike, okay? I'll just start thinking about that.
Oh, so,
all right. Yeah. We'll see you later, Chris. Love you.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for coming on and doing this. And I have to tell you, in all honesty, your brother's one of the best guys I know. He's a little bit of an American hero, and although he hates me saying this, but he's a part of a group of my friends that are the greatest guys on the planet. They're great parents, aww, they're great husbands, they're great guys, and so, on behalf of all of his buddies, thank you for giving them to us, and we love him. It pains me to say that in his presence, but you have an awesome brother.
I'm glad to hear that. He is pretty awesome. I'm happy to hear that.
I know. All right, we're done. All right, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Love you, Mike.
Love you. Yeah, hey, love you too.
Bye. Love ya.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye. We'll see you, Mac.
That was awesome. Anytime that you want to bring a family member on the program, I think you should do that.
Yeah, my sister's something else, so I really, you know, and I told her last time I was up there, I've looked up to her for so long, and it was, you know, I think everything that, you know, you kind of like, man, I wish I was more compassionate, that's my sister. You know, I wish I was more this, that's my sister. You know, I'm driven, but she's really driven.
Oh, really?
You know? So, I mean, yeah, she's and like I said, we not a terrible rough childhood, but it wasn't the greatest childhood, you know, because we had to do a lot on our own.
Right, right.
So right. Growing up, you know, we were taught young is to be independent. If you want something done, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah, you know, my mom was. I mean, like, I learned how to sew. Cause she taught me when I was like 5 or 6, and it started because I wanted to learn how to sew like buttons and snaps on my G.I. Joe stuff. But then I went to Catholic school, so I had to wear white shirts with buttons, and you know, you're playing and your button gets ripped off. You know, I'd come home and say, can you sew this? And she said, you can do it. And I, you know, so I learned how to sew. I learned how to iron. You know, I could make my own lunch. And my mom taught me all that. Email says this, this part is so much better than the cooking part. I love it. She cooked the meat. She cooked the meat till it didn't make any more noise in the pan. He obviously loves his mom. Just moms have a bit different talents. So all right. Well said.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
right,
a good
man.
Way to put it.
I'm off. I'm headed to the change of command. I will tell everybody you said hey.
Okay, I will talk to you later.
All right, but that is Michael Musselman and his sister. How about that? A little bit of gift right there. I love when that happens. I love when that happens. Yeah, hey, my sister's here. Oh, my God, this is going to be good. So, no. All right, that'll do it. On a Friday, my thanks to Kim Holmes for coming on and talking food. That segment repeats itself here momentarily, so don't touch that dial. And one other thing, if you're going to have some kind of an event for the 4th of July, listen to this segment, because Kim, whether it's potato salad, macaroni salad, baked beans, whether you buy them in a can, which I do. You know, he gives great advice. So that's coming up next. And then my thanks to Ken Rogers. Ken is a really interesting, good dude. And one of the things I love about Vietnam veterans is they're not perfect. And they came home and they got treated bad. And Ken's one of those guys. I mean, he'll talk about his drinking and fighting days, the way his anger came out of him. And pretty interesting guy and a great guy. So Ken Rogers, my thanks to him for coming on. And always, the Gunner and his sister, Chris. That was awesome. Anyway, most of all, thanks to you for tuning us in and listening. Have a great weekend. And happy birthday to my mom, who would have been 84 today. So got Kathleen, Mary Forden, and then married my dad, so McNamara. So my mom was a good mom. And she didn't live the greatest life. I mean, I think after she divorced, she struggled. She struggled with loneliness and a number of things. So anyway, happy birthday to my mom.